Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I am Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trombley Virtual. Thanks for coming on board our friendship.
Yes. These ocean liner of love.
Our jet ski
of masturbation.
Of lust. Jet ski.
Oh, sorry, Alistair.
That's fine, Andy. I like that you've turned into the dirty one.
I have. I've very much become the dirty boy on the podcast.
The dirty boy. Oh, and that's the dirtiest thing. I think being a dirty man is less dirty than being a dirty boy.
Yeah, I think it's true. I mean, I think, you know, a manhood, over time, you expect a certain amount of dirt to accumulate to anything.
Of course, yeah.
You know, it doesn't even require any effort.
And you could.
It's entropy.
And you could expect also just filth to be, you know, for there to be accumulated on old people due to just their lack of access to ways of sort of releasing that filth, if we're talking metaphorically.
We are.
Yeah.
And assume you're talking about a metaphor for baths.
Baths, yeah, that's right. It's very difficult for old people because of their ill physical health.
Yes.
To get in and out of baths. And that's why kind men who work as nurses...
In and out of baths.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, you can get into a bath and sure, you'll be clean for a while.
Yeah.
But if you can't get out, that water will turn stagnant.
Yeah, that's right.
And begin to fester.
And so within 1 to 2 months...
1 to 2 months, that bath...
You will
diminishing
be,
returns as well.
You will start to accumulate filth once again. That's why you need a person who lives next door who, but look, I think there is a sketch, sketch in that.
It's someone who believes that the longer you stay in the bath, the cleaner you will become, and they run up against the sort of the natural limit of that, or are they trying to warn people about the risks of, you know, prolonged exposure to baths?
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
It is a strange one. It's a curly little one, that one, isn't it?
Well, because, I mean, it could be a public
service
announcement, PSA.
Yeah.
Always bathe. Important. Don't stay in the bath for too long. Staying in for over a month or two can result in fungi multiplying.
Yes.
Warm water, as your body will keep it, is a perfect place for lichen, fungi, bacteria.
Algae.
Blue-green. That is one of the old... I don't know why they're going to put this in there, but that's one of the oldest creatures that have...
Organisms
absolutely. On this planet.
It is.
Also, don't take a bath that's too short, because it does take some time when you go in for the water... to
realize that you're there and notice and do anything
and to break through these sort of eddy currents that are, you know, just sort of swirling around your
mm-hmm,
skin
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there are, yeah.
Do you think also, like, and then in the very long term you run the risk of evolving into a whale?
That is over the soup. That is, but that's more of a risk to your whole family,
right? Generations.
Yeah,
that's a in a way, the whales that chose to move into the ocean, live in the ocean, were engaged in a form of intergenerational theft in which their thoughtlessness, much like the baby boomers with their negatively geared investment properties, the thoughtlessness of the whales stole the possibility of having legs from their from future generations.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, sometimes you could say, I mean, you could be victim blaming there, that it's their weak legs that led them to making that decision.
To moving into the ocean.
Yeah.
Thinking, got to get a load off.
This kind of huge, blubberous body that was very long. Like, do you think when like, the precursor to the whale, did it have four legs that went down like that? Like, that pointed down like a dog?
Yeah. Right? Yep. That's the traditional direction for legs to point. Yeah. Like a dog, or indeed any animal.
Well,
legs that go up, dare I say, are almost not legs at all.
Well, yeah, but there's that you know, that wheel with the kicking boots that you that sort of
wheel with the kicking boots.
You know, it's just basically a wheel, but then at the end of it's kind of like, think of your traditional pirate steering wheel,
I'm picturing
pirate
it.
Ship steering wheel. But think of, you know, those spokes that are sticking out instead of just a spoke. You put sort of a fake foot in there and then a boot. You don't just hang a boot on it because when it goes upside down, the boot will just slide
will fall off.
Yeah.
No, it's a rookie error.
Is the pirate ship steering wheel, I guess, what you would call a creature? And you know, was it a logical place, you know, thing to talk about here when talking about the whales and things like that?
And legs.
Maybe not.
Only time will tell. We'll leave that to history to decide. Yeah.
I mean, what is life, you know? I mean, it's moving.
Yeah.
It almost seems that it seems to have some kind of vindictive thing towards people that are standing near it.
Life.
Life and... That's what I'm saying. There's a parallel between life and this wheel. Yeah. With
and
the
sometimes life feels like a big old wheel, you know? Just keeps on turning.
Yeah, Proud Mary keeps on burning.
Keeps on burning, which always made me worried about this ship.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't think it, but fire is actually a really big risk on boats.
On ships.
On ships.
Well, if it keeps burning, then it means that either they have so much fuel that they
the
can...
The ship is so large.
Yeah, it's so large that it is almost having no effect.
Yes.
Right? Or...
They have the fire under control. They don't want to put it out...
Yeah.
But they've confined it to a corner of the ship. Maybe they've even put it to use, heating a boiler.
Or maybe what happened is some guy who was perusing the internet.
Yes.
Somehow came across one of these free energy websites that talk about different ways that they've figured out that they can find, get free energy in a kind of like a...
It's always an Israeli engineer.
Yeah, I remember reading about one that it would, like, involved hitting a brown something. Like, it was like a brown waveform or like a, anyway.
Brown. I don't think there is a brown waveform. I don't think brown is a color of light. There's no.
You think there's no brown light?
There's no brown in the, that's why you in never the see, rainbow.
That's why you never see brown cellophane.
You never see it.
Is there no brown in the rainbow?
Well, I don't think so.
Where's brown?
Brown is a mixture of different wavelengths of light.
Yeah, but so is every other...
No. Different colours are pure wavelengths, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. It feels
that's what
like...
That's what a spectrum is. It's all the different pure colours.
So wait, some colours are just not on the spectrum because they've been mixed in.
Yeah, or I think our eye interprets a combination of certain colours... as brown, but you could split brown. You could split that brown beam of light that your eye thinks is brown into its component colors.
There's no way that I could split brown. I do not have at hand the capabilities.
You just need a prism.
Man.
Prism Break. Okay, it's a new TV show in which...
Two guys. One guy imprisons himself.
Yeah, yep.
Wait, and then he...
Okay, it's Prison Break, in which people have a little break going to prison. It's a break in prison. It's just a little twist on the old favorite. You know, that
Andy,
current topical reference, Prison Break?
Andy, I feel like this is exactly the kind of thing you don't want to talk about. Now, these kind of word things. This is what you told me. You said you listen to old episodes and we don't do as many word things anymore.
Yeah, and I love it.
And you loved it.
But I really felt that I was onto something with Prison Break.
No, look, I love it. But you don't, this is not what you want.
It's not what I want. Thank you, Alistair. Yeah. Thanks for protecting me from myself.
No problem. Now, we have to go back. Way back.
Okay, so spending too long in the bath.
Are there, should, do you think that would be the only thing?
Well, I think both the risk of dirt and then the risk of evolving into a marine creature.
Of course, yeah.
Over generations.
Yeah.
Both of these things, are, I think, you know, also people are encouraging us to take shorter showers, right? So could we tie it in with something to do with that? Like, you know, you shorter showers because of water restrictions, but then, you know, people
take
might think they can get
baths.
It. They can, yeah, people think they can get around that by having a bath, you know, where there is no time limit on a bath. There's no upper limit, right? But if you, I've lost my train of thought.
Because you went, oh no, he's writing. He's writing down the idea.
No, I started thinking, trying to remember if I'd ever been caught in the plug hole. You know, when you pull the plug out and it sucks down.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, is it possible to get caught in the plug hole?
I saw on the news a little girl got her two fingers stuck in the actual holes of the plug hole.
Right, but not because of the force of suction, just because of being a silly little girl with pokey fingers.
Yeah, I think her fingers were, she had chubby fingers and... But there's also a movie, and I can't remember what the movie is, but where some uncle is sitting in a bath, and then he's like, he's saying something to a kid, and he's like, hey, kid, you want to reach into the water? Like this. And then the kid does reach into the water, but he pulls out the plug, and I think the uncle's, well, I guess what this is what they play out in the film, the uncle's balls get stuck in the plug hole. And then they, and maybe they got also sucked into the parts, like,
oh wow.
But I mean, I don't see that happening.
I mean, I don't know enough about the, you know,
about sort of testicle plug hole physics.
Yeah. I was gonna say water hydrodynamics, but you're right, we also need to know about testicle dynamics
mechanics
as well. Yeah, and then the interactions of the two, of hydro, I mean, it's sort of a crossover degree. Anyway, too long in the bath. Public service announcement.
Yeah,
you know, people have been taking longer baths, and they're not without risks.
Yeah.
Alistair.
Absolutely.
They are with risks.
For some reason, they put...
Heavy with risk.
Heavy with risk. Great. Along that way, and then between there and when we went backwards, did we also come up with something else?
Well, we were talking about whales for a time, an intergenerational theft.
Yeah, that's right. Well, also I was thinking about that family, because it's a strange thing to feel put it out as a risk, like it's a risk that your family may turn into whales.
Yes.
Right? But in a way, the fact that there are whales now in your bath is a story of survival. You know, is that although you made a decision, your family still exists. Rather than having all perished in the bath, they've managed to find a way to survive and adapt. So, maybe from our sort of, you know, ignorant human points of view, it seems like it's a bad thing that you're a lesser form. But in many ways, you're a greater form for the environment that you're currently in.
Yeah. You've adapted to an ecosystem. And that's all fitness is. It's fit, you know, survival of the fittest. But that's for a particular environmental circumstance. Mm.
But imagine, you know, well, not don't imagine. I was just going to say, it's weird that you're talking about, you know, being more fit for this environment when you're now a whale trying to fit in a bath.
I think whales are still fit.
No.
In a way. I don't think there's much fit. Oh, yeah. I think there is something in... Could somebody hate their... Still, could someone hate future generations enough that they decide that they are going to become a sea creature as a sort of a slap in the face to generations thousands of years down the line? Like, you know, do you think you could do that sort of thing out of spite? Say, oh, I'm no longer going to use my legs. I'm going to evolve into a, you know, a blobby marine animal.
Well, you might be able to do it as an environmental stance. So let's say you go,
go on.
I want to save the oceans. It seems like oceans are fair game for polluting and fucking up and things like
yep.
that.
Yep.
And the reason why they're fair game is because no humans live in
right.
them.
Right. Absolutely.
And so you could make a decision.
Because we never pollute the land where humans live.
Well, not the ones that they own. Like
that's true.
So I think the problem is that there's no real estate.
Yeah.
That the real estate market doesn't, there's no real estate market out in the ocean.
If you could monetize that shit, if you could sell that off to the highest bidder, then people would have an incentive.
Yeah.
You know? You could buy and there's a lot of potential there because you can not only sell like surface area of the ocean, you can also sell like different depths.
Depth. Yeah. You know, and then later on you could also do it with air. Up in the sky.
Going up.
You become an aerial creature. But I was just thinking, maybe it's a guy who decides he's going to start the process of his future line generation becoming aquatic creatures. But he's going to do that by squatting in the ocean until the law gives him the ocean. You know, like how there's that
like
squatter's law?
Eminent domain or whatever. Is that eminent domain? Or... Yeah, just vacant possession, kind of. You just...
Yeah.
Now, when you said squatting, I pictured him actually squatting, but he's not, is he? He's being a squatter.
Well, he's being a squatter. He's probably treading water. I imagine for some reason he's in deep enough ocean that he's...
I think for that law to come into effect, you have to maintain. You have to show that you have maintained at your own expense that section of... water.
Okay. I think that's doable still.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's underwater cameras these days. But basically, look, I don't know how we're going to show that yet. I don't know the details, but I think what he's going to do is that he has to stay there for like roughly 15 years or something, whatever the law is.
Yep.
And then now he
owns the ocean.
Yeah. Or, you know, or the Australian waters.
I think that's good.
Do you think that's a sketch?
Yeah, I think there's a sketch in a guy who is trying to claim, I want to say eminent domain because it feels like a good expression, but I'm pretty sure that's not it. I think that might be a thing that the Queen has or something like that. But, yeah, that he wants to take it over. I still would like to prosecute the case for somebody who's decided to evolve in a really bad direction.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's, like, something we can do about, like, you know, kids these days, they've got it too good. You know, they've got so much, you know, they've got iPhones and they expect everything. They feel entitled to all sorts of stuff. Well, I'm sick of that trend, the way that is going. I'm going to put a stop to it. And I'm going to evolve. I'm going to divert the human race. So my kids...
By removing our eyes, by living underground.
Yes.
So become like one of those kind of naked mole rats.
Yeah.
Or like one of those moles that has that weird flower nose.
Star nose mole. Oh, it's the most confronting thing I can...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe there's just a man living under a porch trying to evolve in the wrong direction. Do you think it's part of the same sketches or people... It's sort of like it's like one of those kind of Discovery Channel series about like... It's borderline reality TV, but it's also people who make weird decisions with their lives. And
I just love it. Because I don't think that show's been done. People who make weird decisions. Because it's always like, I've got an addiction, right? I've got a medical problem. There's always like some kind of reason. But these are just like people who make weird decisions.
It's just consistently this guy can't seem to get it right. Can't seem to make a normal, sensible decision. What we've done is we've offered him, what would you like, a fork or a spoon? Have you got a spatula?
What a weirdo.
Weird decision.
Here are his top 10 weird decisions.
So, but these are people who've decided to evolve.
I like the show, just weird decisions. Okay. I'm almost taking this in a totally different direction, Alistair. You've captivated me with this tale. I'm not sure about the fork, spoon scenario.
Do you think it's too simple? Do you think it needs... What kind of scenarios is he encountering? Somebody says, "G'day, mate. Can I take your order?"
Yeah, that kind of thing. But or, you know, maybe like opening a door with his elbow.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That's good. What about the guy who orders only side dishes?
Having an ice cream, but just buying the cone. I mean, that's pretty much the same as your side dish one.
That's true. I guess the cone is kind of the side dish to the main meal, which is the ice cream scoop.
Can I get a cone on the side?
Just give me the scoop in the hand, cone in the side.
The scoop in the hand. That is the perfect example of a weird decision this guy would make.
And then the cone in the hand?
He can have the cone in the hand. And he puts the cone in his pocket. And then later in the day, we see that it's gone all crunched. And he's reaching in for his keys, and there's just all, like, crunchy bits of wafer.
What's this? And then he kind of just shifts it to his other pocket. Another weird decision.
Exactly.
Look, I'm into it. I think an idea like this really needs to be, you know, fleshed out a lot. I don't know who has the time. I mean, right now.
I don't have time to go around putting flesh on bones.
Do you think maybe we could do this? This could be a thing that we do when we have our own whole channel.
That one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a basis for a whole channel, but all right.
No, what I mean, like,
because in the last episode of the podcast, Alistair, I was, are you doing this deliberately to wind me up? Because I was definitely having a go at you last time for trying to get away with bad ideas by saying that's more of a whole TV show or a short movie.
Yeah,
but to now say that this is a whole channel. Like, the flimsier the idea, the more you seem to want to do with it. I guess it's like you're looking at an empty plot of land and you're saying, imagine what we could build on this plot of land, instead of seeing a house and saying, I guess we could renovate the bathroom. I mean, you're a fabulist.
Yeah, I think maybe I see it as more like, if all we had...
A series of channels, maybe a network.
Well, no, we're not going crazy here.
It's an entire medium.
We're only two people here, Andy. But I was thinking, if at some point we're making so many shows that we need to fill a whole channel, this would be a perfect show to make.
It's good to plan. It's good to have room to grow.
Yeah.
And that is what we have.
We've got a lot of room.
Mm.
Yeah.
The skies.
It is
the limit.
The sky. Well, the channel sky.
I wasn't trying to do that.
Was that. No, Andy, you were going back into
wordplay. I definitely was not. I was not punning.
And eh?
I was not doing a pun.
That's okay. Look, I like it in a weird way, but I think I still like it. I think I have reservations.
What are your reservations?
I just want to see it in action, I guess. I guess maybe I want to make it and then not feel 100% responsible for it. Once it's made, if I don't like it.
Yeah, like kids.
Kids.
You know, well, I mean, you're not 100% responsible for them, are you? I mean, to a certain extent, but then they become their own thing.
I mean, you're responsible for them existing.
Yeah.
But you're not responsible for what they become, because you're not in control of the DNA. And first, because that would be crazy. That would be great, though, if at the beginning you got to build your character... Like you do at the beginning of a sort of medieval RPG.
Yeah, and select their different skills.
Yeah, well, you got to keep rolling until you get a few more extra points there. And so would you give your kid high dexterity or high strength?
I love dexterity. I love the word dexterity. Then they could be a surgeon.
Yeah, or a thief.
Ooh, a pickpocket.
Yeah, pickpocket.
Wait. Oh, it slipped away. Reel it back in. Something. Oh, okay. With DNA.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry. You were talking about DNA. And, you know, they use DNA to identify criminals from crime scenes, right? But do you think that they could use that same DNA and look at the DNA and be like, oh, this is just bad DNA from his dad? That's the real criminal. His dad for giving him this bad DNA. Who we can't, we, you know.
Yeah, look, I think that
no, people are acquitted on the basis of DNA, but it's usually
but not,
because they found that it wasn't
but not by
their
the
DNA,
quality
but
of
not
the
quality.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality, exactly. I think if we look a little closer, we say, look at this.
I think the only reason why it hasn't happened is because we just don't know enough about DNA that we can really have the confidence to look at it and go, good DNA, bad DNA. So it's kind of like, you know, if you don't know much about indie rock, you don't know whether it's a good band or a bad band.
Yep, exactly.
I think science is at a point where it's kind of like a guy who's only heard Radiohead.
Yep.
And he thinks it's good, but mostly because he's just heard other people say that it's good.
Yep. And at the moment, all he can really say is this Radiohead or is this not Radiohead?
Yeah. And at the moment, that's where science is at. They only know whether or not it's DNA.
Yep. That would have been an interesting time. Like early on in the DNA forensic science sort of thing, you could say, this is DNA. We've done tests that prove that this is DNA.
We did a DNA.
And I put it to you that the accused
has DNA.
Case closed.
Early. Yeah, that's fun.
It's another weird legal angle sketch.
I like it.
The last episode had about 17 of those. This would be good for our channel. Our one of our shows on our show, our channel could be like, weirdest legal defenses on the Discovery Channel.
I had another idea.
Yep.
Which was regarding designer babies.
Oh, yeah.
People think that it's wrong, right?
Yes. That's the consensus.
Yeah.
There's an outcry.
But this is
universal.
This idea is a sketch about people who are against it, and then a scientist comes to them and says, "Now you're against designer babies." They go, "Absolutely,
yeah,
no doubt about it." They go, "Well, I want to tell you about this new advance that we have. It's still designer babies. Well, I'm against it. Well, just listen to the rest. But you do design your baby like you do at the beginning of an RPG.
Yep,
and they go, "Oh."
So I can like pick the color and you know the height and the hair and stuff.
Whether or not their ears are pointy. And...
oh.
Oh.
I guess I hadn't thought about it like it was the beginning of an RPG.
Because that's the most fun bit of an RPG.
It is. Do you get to see them running on the spot? Yes.
Yes. You've really
I mean, that's a very convincing case, isn't it? This really changed, you know, this a whole new angle.
This is quite a difficult ethical dilemma for me.
I mean, before I was just thinking about, you know, building in immunity for disease and that kind of thing, and I wasn't sure, but
and really,
when you put it to me that I'll be able to select what sort of hit points they have on their broadsword...
I mean...
Who am I to stand in the way of science?
When I get to pick whether they're a human, an elf, or an orc, and whether or not they have big boobs and a big metallic bra. I mean, normally I would have said, don't play God.
Don't play God.
But don't play God mode.
But, I mean, surely telling people not to play God is, in a way... playing God, and I would never do that. So
you've got yourself a deal. Alistair,
I really like that. I think it can be as simple as that as well. It's like the interviewer going to someone and just saying, "What if we could do it in this way?" I think pretty much what just happened. you know, where sort of both you and I are playing both the roles in the sketch and talking over a bit and not really distinguishing the voices when we're doing different characters.
Sometimes one has a Canadian accent and then an Australian accent.
Yeah, exactly.
They're both just riffing. They're just trying to figure out the funniest way that they could...
Yeah, they repeat could. What the other person said, basically.
But with slightly, like emphasis on different bits in an attempt to make it funnier.
I mean, that's all creativity is, really. You know, it's repeating someone else said, but with a different emphasis. Can you get copyright on an emphasis? You know, it's people... there's, you know, been a lot of debate about... plagiarism, obviously, and you know, in political speeches and in music, the famous Marvin Gaye Blurred Lines case. But also, what about emphasis? The third word in a sentence. That's where I put mine. Look, Alistair.
Look, it would be great for a guy to try to
intonation.
Yeah, to. I mean,
sarcasm.
To copyright sarcasm.
Yeah, or some other. Maybe you could come up with a new kind of tone of voice.
Do you think? I mean, maybe Judith Lucy could do that, because I think her tone of voice is.
Yeah, that's really tied up with her identity, isn't it? Yeah. Like, that's quite identifiable with her. It's like the purple color with Cadbury, the sarcastic Absolutely. Tone of voice.
And if you're in comedy, for example, to talk like that would, you know, would be akin to stealing a copying a trademark, stealing a trademark.
Tone thief.
I don't even like that, like when that guy accused the other guy of stealing his essence.
I think that's
the thing. That's the thing in stand-up where I think apparently Dane Cook accused another guy of stealing his essence.
Wow. It's amazing because you can steal someone's essence, but then they still have their essence, don't they?
Well, it's like, it's so really you just kind of digitally pirated it.
Yeah. You ripped it.
I only ripped your essence.
Baby.
I think, look, we actually have five sketches.
We technically have five sketches.
But I don't know, I feel like we should
just get
an extra.
I tell you what we don't have is momentum.
No, we've definitely come to a dead stop. But now we're treading water in an attempt to pick it back up again.
All right, momentum. What do we got? Law of conservation of momentum.
Moments.
Could there be a law of conservation of something else, right? Whenever two things collide... Maybe the momentum's conserved, the energy's conserved, and also the color of the shirt that man in the hat.
So, like, when two people collide, like, you know, in a romantic comedy, and all the books go everywhere.
Yeah, okay. Nothing to do with conservation of anything.
Yeah.
Let's just come up with a sketch about people bumping into each other and dropping their books in romantic comedies.
Okay.
Could it be, we only ever see that in a romantic context? You know, the bump and the book drop.
Yeah.
Right. But can we? could there be like? Can we try and put that into some other kind of film, right? Like, could it be in, like, a war film? Like, a director who just really loves maybe that trope of the book, the bump and the book drop. Maybe it's somebody who's come from romantic comedies and is now directing this. Okay, he's done really well as a romantic comedy director.
Yeah.
Right? But now he's directing this incredible war epic, right?
Great.
So... All I got so far is that, like, somebody's running, they're late for a briefing, a war briefing, and they're running and they're carrying all these rifles in their arms, right? And they bump into someone and the rifles go all over the ground.
And then they fall in love?
and then they're helping each other to pick up the rifles. But I don't want them to fall in love. I just want that scene.
Well, you know, maybe it needs to be one army.
Right. runs into is another running, home, and they're all carrying.
They're all carrying books. And then they start a war. That's how the war starts.
They fall into war with each other.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're trying to do a different style, like if it's a horror movie, it's like a big monster's running somewhere. Like,
yes.
Because, you know, you never see them moving. And, like, you only just see them appear suddenly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at some point, they, like, when they're behind the scenes, when they're not on camera, they've got to be running around
to
the
get
building.
To that really, point.
To get to that point. And so they're running around, and then they... You know, it's just some other person, and they go, actually, now you're the person I want to kill.
I think there's something in that.
Yeah.
What other scenes are there? Like, there's always the scene where somebody's a bit frumpy, and they're wearing glasses, and then they, you know, and then it's time for some big date or some important night, and then they come out, and they look really good.
Yeah.
Right? They're not wearing their glasses, thank fuck. You know?
Yeah.
They've maybe taken their hair out.
That thing that makes people look so ugly.
Yeah, I know. It's gross.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe something like that. But again, like, in a war context.
He didn't look very brave because yeah. he was wearing glasses.
Yeah.
But then, before the big war prime.
Well, the big assault. You
the
know,
big assault.
Big assault. The yeah. night of the big push.
I guess, you know, Big Assault is kind of like the prom of...
In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people just sitting, waiting.
Yep. On the sidelines.
Never been kissed.
Awkwardly hoping someone will point their gun at them, but they don't. Nobody does. You know.
Do you think this is there?
I think that's there. I think...
So, yeah. Okay. I think I could see it in the idea of... Like, you're just watching a
whole movie.
It's going to be a whole movie. It'll be on our movie channel.
Yes.
No, but it's so you're just watching this director, who's a rom-com director, attempt a war epic.
Yeah.
And so then it will be cut up. It'll just be like a kind of like a montage of scenes that are sort of rom-com scenes.
Yeah, I mean, could it even be like from the director of blah,
so,
and then
so
it's a trailer.
Yeah, it's a trailer from the director of She's Not That Into You. Or she, yeah, she's, you know.
That's great. And
how
then
to
we
lose
can
a
make
guy
up
in
a whole
10
lot of romantic comedy titles, maybe. Like, great. Like make those up.
She's,
so it's a fictional director.
Yeah. She's Into You, literally. yeah, okay. I got like this.
Heart to heart. To heart, heart to heart, and it's heart spelled H-A-R-T to heart, and then H-E-A-R-T, right? Because somebody's name is Heart.
And he's a relationship counselor.
Exactly. He has lots of deep and meaningful conversations. And there's another one called Hold Me Closer. And me is spelled M-I, and it's a girl whose name is me.
Okay. One is called Meat and Bread, but it's spelt M-E-E-T.
And then Anne.
Anne, A-N-N-E.
Yes. And then Bread, B-R-E-D.
No, it's the bread. D-B, which is decibel.
Yep. And then
red. Yeah. And so it's somebody who owns a speaker company.
Red.
Yeah. Meat and
Decibel
red. And her dad was a famous roadie. This is what you wanted, Andy. No, word jokes.
No, but it's not really word jokes, is it? That's a satire on romantic comedies. See, we're actually not doing puns. We're satirizing bad puns.
So this is good.
Found a socially acceptable context in which I can use my one skill, and I'm not even that good at it.
I think that's good.
Woo!
I think you've done well, Andy. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, bud.
I think we should wrap up.
I think we should, too.
Yeah. We've got six ideas
here.
That's
an episode.
That is a whole episode. We've got... Bathing for too long. It's a PSA about bathing for too long and the risks, possibly also for bathing for too short a period of time. Like a guy who just ends up aquaplaning across the top of the bath. That's a genuine risk.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also possible to move through water so quickly that you cause it to heat up. Like,
of course.
That must be possible, right?
Well, you know, it's just, you know, water
friction. There'd be
like
some sort of friction.
Thick atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, you have to be real moving really fast for a bath depth to to do it.
But, sure.
But who cares?
But like, you know, if a meteorite struck a bath.
What if it's Einstein's son and he's going the speed of light?
There you go.
Einstein's son is going the speed of light to take a bath. But as he went in, he burned up.
That's a weird decision. You're watching people who make weird decisions on the Discovery Channel.
On the ATB and Andy Matthews channel. It's really good when I've had this cold and I've got like an announcer's.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then we got number two is man trying to claim eminent domain over the ocean by squatting in it.
If indeed eminent domain is the correct
term. Yeah, whatever it is. That
it might mean something racist.
Oh, no. Is that your fear with all the holes in your knowledge?
Yeah. In a way, that's kind of the worst thing it could be, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it could be an incantation that kills people
sure.
when they hear it.
Okay. But if that incantation was also racist, that would be
that
worse
would
still,
be worse.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it'd be awful. What about a guy who comes up with an incantation that kills people, but then it's also racist? Look, to be honest, I reckon I could build a sketch around that.
Alistair, I feel keep it for the channel.
Keep it for the channel. So that was a guy who is also possibly deciding to evolve, to make a decision that he's going to evolve. He's changed the direction of evolution for his family, and that they're going to become
live under the porch until they become moles.
Yeah, so moles or whales is the ocean one. Is here because we didn't actually put the
whales. Really, are the moles of the ocean?
Absolutely, they're in there.
They're moving through it.
They're somehow moving through. I think being a subterranean creature would be one of the worst things you could be.
I always picture gophers having a pretty good time, and I remember like enjoying the Fantastic Mr. Fox book a lot, like where they live in tunnels and steal cider and turkey from people's basements.
The constant collapsing of dirt and risk of suffocation. They're still just mammals, right?
But that's life. I mean, we probably have equivalent things up here on the surface. They don't, but we don't even think about it because it's just our life, you know.
And they're like, "What about if you guys could always constantly be getting hit by meteors?"
Exactly. That never happened to us.
That wouldn't happen to us down here in the dirt.
I wouldn't live up there if you paid me.
Oh, yuck.
Up there on the meteor-strewn surface of the Earth. No, sir.
Aren't you worried that people are always looking at you from omnidirections?
They can see you from the side.
I mean, what I like
No one's ever seen me from the side.
What I like is just one path forward and one path backwards.
One path backwards sometimes. The collapse, I can't go backwards, but that's okay.
And sometimes you can't even turn around. I mean, it's awful. And once you go down a path and you encounter somebody going the other way, that's when your life ends, just facing another person. Anyway, I'm a subterranean creature, radio program. Good night.
It was good.
Yeah, so then there's number three is the Weird Decisions reality TV show.
Yeah.
And it's just people who make weird decisions. It's a parody on all the other reality shows that are based on things that are sort of not people's fault, and so you can laugh at them.
Yes.
But this, you know,
it is their fault, and you probably still can laugh
at
them.
You still can laugh at them.
Maybe even more so.
Yeah, because
it's their fault.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't laugh at people because things are not their fault, but these are weird enough things that, like, yeah, if you eat drywall, we can laugh at you.
Yeah, and also they're on television. They can't hear us laughing at
That's
them.
Right. That's the beauty of television.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to think that, sometimes, I used to think that the newsreader, if I gave her the finger, which I would give them the finger a lot, I was like, I reckon she can see it. Or him, you know. Yeah. I wasn't just giving the finger to
female newsreaders.
Newsreaders of the female sex. Number four is early DNA testing. You know, and
is it you, DNA?
Used it, you used it in a court case. They only knew whether or not it was DNA. Your Honor, the substance we found on the kitchen knife was DNA. And what is Mr. Johnson, the accused, made of? Well, if you see from our testing here, it says DNA.
DNA.
Five is a person who's against designer babies.
All they could prove when they could test with DNA was they could... The only people they could prove innocent of crimes were robots.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's good. I really like that. Well,
after DNA testing was developed, allowing them to prove that the substance on the knife was in fact DNA.
And therefore...
This robot...
can go free.
He could not have been murdered by his dishwasher.
And it kind of... like a robot turning around and hugging its robot mom that's in the...
its robot lawyer.
Yeah. It could be a man lawyer as well.
That's true.
I think a man... I think
a
in
man
this day and age, a man could be a lawyer.
Could a robot.
Which is okay now. So, yes, the person who's against designer babies gets convinced by someone, a scientist, who tells them that what if you could create the designer babies through some RPG character design thing? And they go, and they get convinced by that.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
That would probably convince me. Little boxes, does it make a blooping noise when you move between the little boxes selecting different people?
Oh, the worst thing, though, would be making a designer baby and it ends up looking exactly like somebody else's because you've picked all the best things and a lot of people think.
I think that would happen a lot.
Yeah, but that's why you put it in.
But then
heaps.
There'd be people who find ways to use other things. Like, you know, sure, like Wario or whatever, he can go fast maybe, but then Luigi can go well round corners. So people will find ways to make these babies
that's
successful.
True. Yeah.
A lot like real life.
That would be weird to make your baby... More like Wario, make him really heavy and really bad at accelerating. But it's hard to knock him off a go-kart. You know? But, you know, once he does pick up speed...
I can see this paying off.
Yeah, but once he picks up speed, he has a higher top speed than lighter people. That would be a benefit. So it takes a higher level of skill to drive him, but... to drive your son.
This baby.
I find that funny. And then it's a trailer for a director's film, which is a war epic, but the director normally does rom-coms from the director of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and 500 Days of Summer.
Holding Hands with Lisa, but hands is spelt L... is spelled H-A-N-S, and Lisa is spelled L-E-A-S-E-R.
Lisa. Wait, did you say
He's a real estate agent called Hands.
Oh, Hands. Right, that's good. For some reason, I thought you said H-A-M-S.
I probably did. Hams. Holding Hams with Lisa.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is
another episode of the podcast. That is another episode of the podcast. That is another episode of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you like the show, please tweet about it, talk about it, rate it on iTunes. Tell your friends and all of your parents as well.
Go and tell an old guy and then force him to listen and watch him while he does it. yeah, and then I'm Alistair TB on Twitter. Andy's Stupid Old Andy, and the Twitter is
the podcast
Two in Tank
at Two in Tank,
and we're also on Facebook. And rate us on iTunes. Like, and it's like, you know, a lot of people tell me to rate things on iTunes when I'm listening, and I don't do it that often, but occasionally I do, and boy, it makes me feel good knowing that I've helped contribute to the distribution and the success of a podcast. I don't know.
And the fact that it makes you feel good and you don't do it all the time is really healthy for you, Alistair. Because, you know, if something makes you feel that good, I mean, there's dangers to you. You know,
I could be prone to addiction.
You could have an addictive personality and find yourself destroying your life through rating podcasts. But trust us, right? Just a little hit won't hurt.
One
right?
little
just
hit.
Get a little
the
zip
first
of it
one's
in
free, guys. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Love you.
We love you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.